Hello, Internet. This is Ewan Spence calling once more with the great and the good and all the news from the Eurovision Song Contest. Yes, October is still here. The nights are drawing in, which means Junior Eurovision is getting ever closer, which means Adult Eurovision is getting ever closer as well. But, you know, there's still movement. There are people all over Europe busy writing their songs. There are producers and juries having to listen through some quite stunning songs that have been written, posted, submitted up on YouTube, into the broadcasters on CD. All of that is going on. There's the small matter. Junior Eurovision, of course, going ahead, but everything's just quietly ticking over. Not a huge amount going on, but still, fair amount of news. Some great music coming up as well, or at least surprising music. Lots going on. We'll talk about national final deadlines, we'll talk about Eurovision itself, but let's start off with a little bit of how Junior is getting on. Yes, November 30th, of course, for the Kids Spectacular show coming from Kiev this year. The logo has been revealed, the Jigsaw Man, representing basically all the pieces that need to be put together with the contest to create this wonderful human figure. Also represented in the stage design with jigsaw pieces, green room made from green jigsaw pieces. Lots of that going on. It's absolutely wonderful, I think, just as a small logo. The stage itself has also been revealed. It's a very wide, you know, not a huge amount of depth to the stage, but just really goes across the entire venue, which looks fabulous. It's going to be huge, and it wouldn't surprise me if we get visits from the president and dignitaries from Ukraine itself. We're up to 11 countries that have now entered. Since we last spoke, Azerbaijan signed up to the contest. And interestingly, they had their heats and auditions first, and then signed up. So I suspect they were perhaps checking out they had someone better than last year's effort, where they were second from bottom before putting the pen to paper. Will we get 12 and match last year's number? I'm pretty confident that they will. 13 more? 13 wouldn't surprise me at all. I do think there's a couple still sniffing around. And let's face it, even though the deadline is November the 1st, I'm sure if somebody came up on November the 2nd, went, you know what? We'd like to give it a go. They would be accepted. Three bits of country information to relate here. Georgia have named their band The Smile Shop. They will be singing Give Me Your Smile. Expect another polished and slightly creepy song that probably would have graced the charts 10 or 15 years ago if Georgia go by the numbers. Malta have announced their singer is Gaia Cauci. She's debuted her song The Start, which is going to be the song that we think this year should have been in Adult Eurovision, not Junior Eurovision. No stranger to competition. She's already won Sanremo Junior. Little powerful voice there. And we'll be hearing a lot from her, not just at Junior, but going forward as well, I think. Moldova have held their national final for Junior as well. Rafael Bobeci has won that one. And he will be singing Cum Samfim, which is Macedonia. I'll be short for that, which is Moldovan for How to Be. There we go. And we will be there on the ground, getting everything sorted, giving you the whole works. So we'll have podcasts every day, commentaries. We might be planning something special. More on that as we get closer to Junior at the end of November. Okay, been rather quite fortnight for Eurovision news. There are, as I said, people busy all over Europe writing on songs for submission, trying to work out who do we actually speak to at the BBC to submit a song. And many of them, as a result, have ended up looking at other countries. Quite a few people, of course, calling up Irish Heritage and their drummers to get themselves over there, or looking into the open selection process in Switzerland. Lots going on that, but as the submission period closes, we will see how well many of those have done and bring you the highlights here on the podcast. There has been a private petition in Belarus asking the broadcaster not to show Conchita Wurst in Austria because wretched hive of scum and villainy and such like, which of course mean there would be no Eurovision in Belarus at all. It's an all or nothing deal with the EBU. So we watch with keen interest, and it's also good to see Conchita already pushing boundaries, already challenging opinions that need to be challenged around Europe, irrespective of what you think of the music. Garrett Mulholz from Eurovision Ireland did a wonderful piece now, which we've cross-posted back on ESCinsight.com. Go ahead and have a read on that. Two notes from DR. Production manager Camila Moniz has done a wonderful PR piece which says, Eurovision is hard, I'm enjoying doing it. You wouldn't really expect otherwise from DR. Also, they will be sending a documentary crew to record everything that happens about Eurovision and the lead-up and running through the contest. I expect that's going to be quite a positive documentary as DR look at DR, but will still provide a lovely interest and look at the background scenes. Sort of lifted at least in some of the chaos that goes on and the organisation and the tight time schedules. A year is not a long time to put on a show like Eurovision. Okay, national final news. Six to go through. Belarus, one-shot national final. They're taking 15 songs. They'll be having their national final some point in early January. Deadline for song submission there is November 24th. Pretty much anybody can enter that one. But if you do win the national final, that's when your troubles start. Iceland. Submissions have closed on that one. 297 entries this year, up 25% on last year. We are awaiting information on dates and the formats and heats and everything on that one. RUV working through that as we speak. Latvia have tweaked the national final dates. They will now have their semi-finals on February 1st and February 2nd, slightly later into the run. The national final will be held on February the 22nd in Ventspils. Submission deadline there is 20th of November, and they would like you to have some sort of Latvian background, so start asking your aunts and uncles on that one. Ukraine, oh sneaky Ukraine, they're going to put their national final on the 21st of December, which by our reckoning at the moment makes them the first entry into Eurovision this year. They'll beat Albania by about 24 hours. Festival of Kings final we think is going to be on the Sunday 22nd of December, still winning on 100% confirmation on that, but fingers crossed given we've already bought the plane tickets. Application deadlines for Ukraine is the 6th of December. Again, like a bit of national representation in there as well. 20 songs will be chosen, one shot national final, jury and public split vote on that one. Sweden, no more announcements on who's going, who's hosting, anything on that, but just to note that tickets go on sale for the four heats, the Anders Hansen, and the final will go on sale October 24th. So get your credit cards out ready for that one, unless you're in Australia and want to go, in which case you're going to have to phone up the call centre at Ticketmaster, and by the time you get through, all the tickets will be sold out anyway. Ask one of your friends in the UK to buy the tickets for you. That's our advice. And Switzerland, the assault on the ears continues. There's some classics in the mix on the SRF site. As always, anybody can upload their song, put out on public display. Very briefly, Roy Delaney and Hacksaw got up there, and after about 5 or 6 minutes, all their tracks were taken down again as not being appropriate. Can't think why Go Bath City Go wasn't there. There we go. Some tweaks here. RSI, the Italian side of Swiss broadcasters, originally we're going to have a radio heat to take the submitted songs and find the three. Not going to happen now. They're going to take an internal jury to find the three songs that they will then put forward to the next internal jury, which will decide which of the RSI Italian songs goes to the national final. Three from the German side, two from the French, and one from the Italian will go through to the televised final, which is also on February the 1st, matching the same semi-final date as Latvia have there. And we're assuming that's going to be up in Kreuzlingen as well, usual place, just not after, not before Christmas, and a little bit later on in the process. Right, and music time. Actually, I had a couple of choices here, as a lot of Eurovision artists previously have actually come up and released singles in the last week or two. Some of them are quite nice as well. Yet again, it just proves that some of them just should have stayed and done the Dark Morrissey stuff and not done a reback and then, like, bouncy, isn't it nice that you're in love with me? Could have taken some of them, didn't. Could have actually taken any of the Junior Eurovision songs, but we'll keep the powder dry on those ones. Guy Cauchy's, though, her winning Sanremo Junior song was in there, a cover of Dreamgirls and One Night Only. Could have had that one as well. But no, probably the one that, look, this is going to be one that you really want to do a trading bet on at the bookies if it gets to the national final, and it is the Russian Red Army Choir. Now, strictly speaking, there are two Red Army Choirs in Russia. There's the Alexandrov Ensemble and there's the MVD Ensemble. Both of them are allowed to call themselves the Red Army Choir. But the Alexandrov Ensemble is the one that you would recognise from when Eurovision was held in Moscow, and they danced on stage with a pink tank and tattoo in front of them. And they did a lovely cover of the New Seekers in that mix as well. Sounds like, to all intents and purposes, they're going to be entering the Russian national final. It's an even numbered year, which means it's televised. It's a jury public split vote. It's not completely internal. The last time that Russia did the public vote, we got six grannies. So there's every chance this time that we will have six of the members of the Red Army Choir, which is impressive because there's 200 of them. So they've all decided that Boris Dyakov is going to be the lead singer. I'm not quite sure how. I suspect he pulled rank. There will be a couple of backing singers. They will find some ballet singers as well, because the Red Army has no backing singers. No, they have no ballet singers. They have plenty backing singers. Last count, they had 200 of them, or 199 and Boris. But anyway, I'll shut up a bit now because they have guns. No word on what their song will actually be yet. And I didn't want to go back and lift up Beg, Steal, Borrow again because it's really not representative. So this is a snip from them from daytime television a couple months ago, where they decided that the thing that you would ask the Red Army Choir to sing is a James Bond theme. And if you remember, a while back, we said the BBC should have sent Skyfall to Eurovision last year. Instead, we sent Bonnie Tyler. The Red Army can't send it, but they can send these guys. This will probably be called... It'd be very cold. Very, very cold.
This is it.
Oh,
the Alexandrov ensemble there, they will be taking some of the MKD ensemble with them as well. The Red Army Choir, potentially Russia's entry into this year's Eurovision Song Contest. How they get around the uniform rule and the no guns on stage. I wonder if there is a rule that says no guns on stage. I mean, obviously, they can dress up in civvies and they will still look like uniforms because that's what military people do. But will they get the guns? Tricky one. If they get through the national final, that's one to be discussed. If we thought the hoops that you had to jump through for the Salvation Army and Hal's Army last year, well, ain't seen nothing yet. Right then, keep an eye on ESC Insight. Got a couple of articles bouncing around over for the next week or two. I'm still promising to get this one on the running order up on the website as well. Podcast, and you always keep an eye on things on escinsight.tumblr.com, TUMBLR.com. Just little quick snippets and videos going up there. The more in-depth stuff sits on the website. ESCBuzz.com as always gives you the headline. Nice and quiet this time of year, but it means that you get to see everything that's going on and be sure you don't miss anything. Finally, as always, thank you to BMI Regional, UK's most punctual airline for the last 7 years, carrying on with their punctuality and also carrying on with their support for ESC Insight and the team as we go into national final season. Find out more about their 30-minute check-in, free in-flight food and drink, and generous baggage allowances at bmiregional.com. Hashtag sponsor, hashtag advert. But surely that bit's obvious. Anyway, I'm Ian Spence. This has been your ESC Insight podcast for the back half of October. We'll see you around. And for now, some guitars.